My dear friends in Christ, this gospel has several, perhaps different lessons that we might take from it. This gospel account may strike us because it begins telling us that our Lord wept. He saw Jerusalem, that city he had so desperately wanted to save, and yet he knew the future. And knowing this terrible future, our Lord wept. He showed us that he indeed took human nature to himself in every way except sin. This gospel account also gives us the casting out of the buyers and sellers in the temple, where our Lord, in another gospel account, even it says he fashioned a whip to cast out the buyers and the sellers. He was angry with those people that had defiled the house of Almighty God. And so our Lord shows us that emotion is not in itself a bad thing. This is perhaps a point in the spiritual life that can be a little confusing. Let us take, for instance, anger. There are so many occasions, probably every day for some of us, where we are tempted to anger or impatience. How many frustrating things come our way? The car is not working right. The heat is excruciating. The children are not behaving. Coworkers are as difficult as they could possibly be, etc., etc. Is it wrong to become angry, even about these things that don't really matter? And of course, the answer is no, it is not wrong to become angry, because the simple fact is we can't help it. We were made as emotional beings. We have these passions, we have these emotions, whether we like them or not. What is important, however, is the next step that we take. We become impatient or frustrated, angry about something. Do we dwell on it? Do we take it into our heart and take it into our mind, make it a bigger problem than it needs to be? Or even beyond that, do we lash out? Do we tell our coworker that he's a whatever he is? Do we punish the children in anger, perhaps more severely than we should have? Do we feel terribly sorry for ourselves for having to suffer these things? That is when our emotions become a problem. Our dear Lord himself had these emotions, and he only showed them on very specific occasions. Because having these emotions, we know, of course, that he controlled them perfectly. Christ is for us the perfect example in all things. And so it is no mistake that in the gospel we see our Lord showing these emotions. We have to control our emotions. We have to suppress them very often. But our Lord showed us first here, it is okay to be sad. In fact, he said at the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted." So long as that sadness is not excessive. And what are the things that we may become sad about? Again, not those personal injuries or those little crosses that we have to carry, but our Lord became sad over the terrible fate of those inhabitants of Jerusalem. He became sad at the unfortunate state of the world. We can certainly commiserate with him here. We are certainly allowed to become sad at the state of our society, at the immorality or even amorality that we see around us. He shows us in the second place that it is okay to become angry, so long as it is for the proper reason, and even to show this anger from time to time, if there is a purpose. Again, not anger just because we have been slighted or we have been become upset about some little thing. Christ became angry at these people because they had defiled the house of his Father. It was God's honor that had been defiled, and this angered Christ. And so he shows us where we can display our anger, if it has something to do with our Catholic faith. We can and should defend it vehemently. If it comes to the honor of God because of some perhaps blatant violation of morality, perhaps it is our place to stand up, to become angry, to use the proper words, of course, but to not sit idly by, to not be weak and timid when it comes to the honor of Almighty God. And so we see the emotions have their place if they are controlled. If they are kept in their proper place, they can be used for great good. We have to follow Christ in all things. Another lesson that we might take from this gospel: our Lord talks about the destruction of Jerusalem, how terrible it would be. One stone would not be left upon another. Because thou hast not known the time of thy visitation. Thou hast not known the time of thy visitation. The inhabitants of Jerusalem, many of them, we might say, were not paying attention. They rejected grace in some manner because Christ had shown abundantly by his miracles and his teachings that he was indeed the Messiah. And yet they rejected him. Either they were too full of pride, they made themselves spiritually blind, or they were not paying attention. Whatever the case, they missed it. Christ says, thou hast not known the time of thy visitation, meaning God came down from heaven and visited, and you didn't see him. In our own spiritual lives, God comes down from heaven on a daily basis. He comes down with his graces. He gives us inspirations. He gives us opportunities, one after the other. And how often are we like the inhabitants of Jerusalem? How often are we blinded by pride or vice, earthly distractions, or even simply not paying attention? And we miss so many opportunities. And it might be said of us, "Thou hast not known the time of thy visitation." There are so many wonderful examples in the lives of the saints. And one strikes me in this way particularly. That's St. Alphonsus Maria de Liguori, whose feast we will celebrate on Wednesday of this week. St. Alphonsus was so determined to not miss these opportunities, to never miss the visitation of his Lord, that he made a vow, a solemn promise to God, that he would never waste time. Imagine that. Hopefully, we try to be industrious, we see to our duties. But if we were to really sit down and think, how much time do we waste every single day? No doubt in large part because of those devices we keep in our pockets or on the walls of our homes. How much time is wasted? Well, St. Alphonsus was so scared that he would do that very thing, miss these incredible opportunities, that he made a vow he would never waste time. And his life is a testament to this vow. St. Alphonsus is said to have written 111 books and pamphlets in his lifetime. He lived into his 90s, and this incredible, prolific writing is on top of being the bishop of a diocese, the superior general of a congregation that he started, and a myriad of other pastoral and missionary works. He was so determined to not waste time. It was said of St. Alphonsus later in life, he suffered from terrible migraine headaches, debilitating headaches, but he would not rest. He had a chunk of marble he would keep on his writing desk. When he had one of these headaches, he would hold the marble to his temple so that he could write with his other hand. Truly inspirational. And has God called us to that sort of heroic use of time? Perhaps not. But it is still an inspiration to us that we don't waste our time, that time is one of the greatest commodities that we have. It is with the use of time that we either lose or gain heaven. So, my dear friends, let us not miss the time of Christ's visitation. Let us not miss those little graces that he gives us each and every day. Those graces that he gives us to help control our emotions, to use those passions given us properly, to use each and every moment to try to become a saint, to follow in every way possible the imitation of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.